Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. You have a special invitation. The Let's Face the Issues rally is Thursday, July 1st from 5:45 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Don't miss the meet and greet with refreshments and light food. Then hear Dr. Jean A. Youngblood, host of Let's Face the Issues, speak. There will also be several other speakers and regular guests of his daily radio program. The speakers will discuss social, spiritual, and political issues. And you are invited to join in the discussion during the question and answer session before a live audience. The Let's Face the Issues rally is Thursday, July 1st from 5:45 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at the Salem Center Auditorium, the home of this radio station, 7235 Bentley Road, formerly Bonneville Road, just east of Highway 1 Phillips Highway. Seating is limited, so please arrive early to get a seat for the Let's Face the Issues rally, Thursday, July 1st. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today a very important subject. I believe it's perhaps the most important subject we could address, and that's dealing with the battle for the Bible. It's bad enough to see the political entities, the Socialist Marxist BLM Democratic Party, and others in other political umbrellas that are destroying, trying to eviscerate the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. But a battle for the Bible and for the veracity of and for the absolute authority of the Scripture ought not to be found in any Christian denomination. That's exactly what I see taking place across every denominational line. And this week in Nashville, Tennessee, the Southern Baptist Convention's meeting, number one, they will elect a new president. Dr. J.D. Greer has been president for 3 years. Normally it's a 2-year tenure, but because of COVID and no meeting last year, they did not reelect a new president. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at part of the article, a massive full page and a half article in the Wall Street Journal, from Saturday and Sunday, June 12th and 13th date. And a quote, let me read to you. We see some worldly ideologies, philosophies, and theories that are beginning to make their way into the Southern Baptist life. According to Pastor Stone, a Macon church pastor said, God isn't woke, end quote. And that's W-O-K-E. That's the term that's being used in the modern culture today in the lingo. He says, God isn't woke. But ladies and gentlemen, the mindset is with the convention, just as with political parties today, we need to extend our tent. We need to enlarge the opportunity. We need to open the doors for a greater and greater number, trying to embrace everything that the world's embracing so that we'll not offend anybody and that everyone can come under the umbrella of the denomination. It was in 2018, some Southern Baptists walked out in protest of Vice President Mike Pence as he spoke during the denomination's annual meeting, according to this Wall Street Journal article, which they considered a partisan move. The next year, attendees of the SBC convention approved a resolution they called critical race theory that was painfully used as an analytical tool, they said. The vote became a catalyst for the position for conservatives in the denomination to walk out and to start leaving. This is the reason we've had 2.2 million people walk out of the Southern Baptist Convention just since 2016. Ladies and gentlemen, the position has been taken by Dr. Russell Moore, which has just recently resigned from the convention. Dr. Russell Moore, that took the position that Donald Trump should not have been the candidate in 2016, that he shouldn't be elected in 2016, and then openly opposed his position for re-election, and is now, because of the heat within the oven, as I call it, he stepped down. But he took an adamant position of being an opponent of President Donald J. Trump. And as a result of that, you've had major infighting and fissures as a result of that, breaking up and splitting up the Southern Baptist Convention. I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, go ahead with your question, comment. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful to have Greg available today. I had talked with him briefly about the subject today, and because of his knowledge of it and his passion about it as with mine, we've determined that we'll have the joint session for the balance of this broadcast today talking about this battle for the Bible. Greg, thank you for taking time out of your schedule to be with us today, and let's discuss this issue. What are your thoughts in what you have heard me say and what you know the position is with the Southern Baptist Convention? They're battling over three major issues, as you know: the critical race theory, the LGBTQ agenda, and the ordination of women as pastors. So what are your thoughts on that? What is the cure? What do you see as the major problem within the convention?
I'm embarrassed by much of our leadership. I'm embarrassed. And, you know, as you look through the newspapers these days, whether it's the Washington Compost or New York Slimes, you're going to see articles about our Southern Baptist Convention. And we've taken these steps down this path that are indefensible based on biblical principles. You find that 2 years ago, when the critical race theory referendum, that vote was cast, it was
resolution nine.
Resolution number one. When that resolution number nine was actually presented, it was supposed to be a warning. Warning, folks, this is something you need to be very careful of because it violates the principles we find in the scripture. However, they turned that which was supposed to be a warning, they turned it into an advocacy plan. They turned it into a promotion of critical race theory, in essence. We keep taking these steps, and of course, Albert Mohler, you know, warned them on that. We have folks like Russell Moore that he's taken his Democrat robe, and he's tried to wrap it in, because he's a lifelong Democrat, folks. He's tried to wrap it in a few Bible verses, and he's tried to weave it into our convention, and it's perverse. He should have resigned today. He should have never been appointed. He should have never been in leadership in the Southern Baptist Convention. The man does not take biblical principles seriously. He takes his political ideology and he attaches a verse here, a verse there, out of context, and twist the entire underlying principle we find within the scripture, whether it's critical race theory or whether it's open borders garbage, whether it's feminism, whether it's the LGBTQIAP agenda. You know, these things are not ambiguous within the scripture. They're clear within the scripture. So let's use the scripture as our truth rather than some political ideology. When he went down the path of full-blown assault on Donald Trump, it wasn't a full-blown, it didn't matter who the Republican nominee was. I guarantee you it would not have mattered. If it was Ronald Reagan, he'd have been just as aggressively against. I feel horrible that, you know, folks like John Piper joined in to the chorus against Donald Trump. You go, hold on a second, folks. We're going to have a red president or a blue president. It's a binary choice. We don't have, I mean, even there were like 19 different parties represented on the ballot. Guess what? It's going to be a Democrat or a Republican. So if you go on full-blown assault mode on the Republican, guess what you're going to get? You're going to get a Democrat. Look at the Democratic Party platform, folks. You can't defend it with the Bible. You can't defend it. So if you're a Christian, you call yourself a Democrat, I ask you to do this. Open your Bible and start finding a defense for that infanticide that's taken over 63 million babies' lives in this country. You can't find a defense for that. Find something horrible in the Bible about walls to defend your nation. You can't find that either. Find something that says we ought to have a social welfare state and have that replace that which is otherwise, in the scripture, Christian charity. You find a lot about Christian charity. You find responsibility for Christians to be charitable. You don't find responsibility for us to hire a Marxist bureaucrat that will put a gun to people's head, take their money away, and give it to somebody else that may or may not need it. You know, they're really no good at charity. It's feigned charity. It's not real charity. It's false. And it's perverse for any believer to say, well, this is a Christian thing to do. No, it's not. No, it's not. You can't defend that in the scripture. So for this guy, Russell Moore, again, he should have never been in the position, but if he was appointed, he should have resigned day one, not 2 weeks ago, after doing all the damage that he's done over the past several years. The division that he has caused is not based on biblical absolutes. It's not based on the truth of the Bible. It's based on his political ideology. And Beth Moore, you know if there's any relation? I don't think so. Anyway, Russell Moore and Beth Moore have done more to divide the Southern Baptist Convention than any two people I've seen in the past decade. In the past decade. I guess if we all start following Beth Moore, we'll just abandon biblical principles and embrace feminism. I mean, come on, folks. This doesn't make any sense. This is not biblically defensible. I guess she's already folded up her tent and left. That's fine. That's fine. It's just as well. Good riddance. You know, I hope that you continue to cling to Jesus Christ in your salvation, because that's the most important part. But your feminism, the notion that we ought to embrace feminism within the church, is completely false. It's not biblically defensible. So go, Beth Moore. Go, Russell Moore. Go your way. Don't divide Southern Baptists anymore.
One of the things, if I can put a little parenthetical footnote on your statements, and they were all right on target, hitting the nail on the head, as the old cliche goes. But Beth Moore's major problem was she was struggling to be president of the convention. And so she brought up the feminist aspect of it, claiming that the Southern Baptist Convention was anti-female, anti-woman, and was against the feminine position, simply because the restrictions were that you cannot be a pastor in a Southern Baptist church. And she was trying to break that wall down. Of course, in doing so, what she was trying to do is simply deny what the Scripture says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, which is very, very clear that a woman is not to usurp authority, that is, in the pulpit, that is, in the church, in the leadership role pastoring a church. But, Greg, one of the things, and you touched on that we will, in just a moment, take our next caller and listen to that, but Dr. J.D. Greer, which is now the serving president of the convention through tomorrow's meeting, he said, we ought not to make it hard for Democrats to come to Jesus. That was in front major page on Wall Street Journal with his making that statement. What does he mean, we ought not to make it hard for Democrats to come to Jesus? Well, it goes back to preliminary statements in relationship to the convention. It says the convention is trying to get the denomination, which is 90% white, is also aging and close to association with the Trump administration, exacerbated the generational and ideological divides. It says the leaders and the convention are trying to win younger and more diverse members. And he goes on to talk about radically diverse members, meaning the millennials. And the millennials support and embrace, this writer is correct in the paper in saying this, support and embrace the LGBTQ and the immigration policies of the left today. And within the convention, we've got the moderates, we've got the conservatives, we've got the rank liberals. I call them the loose likes, lost liberals, three. And Jesus says in Matthew 12, verse 25, the divided house cannot stand. And yet the convention has been divided for years and years and years. And now the battle is over the Bible. But the question that I ask you, Greg, how can you say that we ought not to make it hard for a Democrat to come to Jesus? Convention's responsibility to be Democrat or Republican, but simply preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if the Democrat wants to embrace the sodomite lifestyle, if the Democrat wants to embrace murder by way of abortion, if the Democrats want to embrace the no borders philosophy for our nation, if all of those things, and I could go on and on, if that's what they're embracing, that's keeping them from Christ and not the convention and standing on the truth of the Word of God. Am I right or am I wrong?
You're 100% right. I would say it's not a matter of, you know, not wanting Democrats to become believers, but I'd say for every believer, if you find that there's a D behind your name, please examine. Please examine what the Democratic Party supports and see whether or not it fits with what your Bible has to say. You know, the reality is truth is absolutely, the scripture is absolutely truth. Not some party platform, but that platform that Democratic platform, that evil infanticide platform, that platform that says open borders ought to be all right. By the way, they only adopted that notion when they discovered illegal aliens prefer, by an 8-to-1 margin, prefer to be called Democrats. You know, right. But the reality is you don't find Christian principles bound up in that Democratic Party platform. Now, folks, it's not your fault if you've been a Democrat for 50 years because the party has shifted gears. They've decided to go radical Marxist on you. I'm sorry, folks, but it's a reality. If you don't see that as a believer, you haven't had your eyes opened up. If you don't see that as a believer, you've not looked at the party platform. If you don't see that as a believer, you didn't hear them say, you didn't hear them boo God at their convention, folks. Do you not realize what's happening? It has nothing to do with not wanting Democrats to become Christians, to come to know Jesus. We do have a political element. Russell Moore was the head of the ERLC, the Ethics Religious Liberties Council. Now, if he's going to take a stand based on ethics, what should underlie those ethics other than Scripture?
The Word of God.
Platform. Absolutely. Exactly. Don't say you're a leader within the Southern Baptist Convention and the Bible is the ultimate, or should be, the ultimate authority, and then you take some political ideology and try to wrap a few Bible verses around it, yanked out of context yet again, and weave it into the Southern Baptist Convention. It becomes a poison pill that's highly destructive. You talk about the falling away. We see a falling away that the Scripture calls for, that's going to take place before the man of sin is revealed. That's in 2 Thessalonians. But we are seeing that falling away because these people have lost any kind of spine. Again, Russell Moore should have never been in that position. But if you're in that position, stand on the Word of God instead of a party platform.
Absolutely. And Greg, one of the things, and I'll touch on this and then we'll take our next caller, one of the major things that they're concerned about that's causing them now to want to go back and retract some of their positions, like the critical race theory, and trying to modulate their positions, is because of the loss of membership and the loss of funds. I'm looking at an article that the new report claims that hundreds of churches have either left the denomination or withheld their funds. It cites one state where $1,147,000 has been withheld due to the ERLC, that's the commission that you just spoke of. In other words, states have reported, and other states reported, that $2,448,000 in giving is at the risk of serious concern with the ERLC. Committee members do not identify the states or the specific churches. More recently, it claims the ERLC was critical of protesters who stormed the U.S. Capitol, but not any criticism of the Black Lives Matter protesters across the nation, end quote. So it boils down to there's been a great divide coming out of the Russell Moore's chair because of his radical position against President Donald J. Trump. By the way, he's resigned from the ERLC, and he's taken a position with the Christianity Today, which is a rank liberal, Christianity reporting news article, news organ today. It's not conservative at all, and yet most people do not recognize that. Greg, hang on for just a moment. I believe we have Joseph on the line. Go with the question and the comment, please. Joseph, are you there? I reckon we lost Joseph. Greg, we're talking about the battle for the Bible, and what I see in the whole part and parcel of this that we're talking about today with the Southern Baptist Convention is a battle over the question that I'm forming: the question, is the Bible relevant? Should it be used as the first, foremost, and final say-so in what we do and what we say? The other thing that they're doing, and you touched on it a moment ago, Greg, critical race theory. Would you explain to our listening audience what is and what is not truth about the critical race theory? Is the critical race theory something that ought to be inculcated in any denomination or in any church, or is it antithetical to the Word of God?
The ground is level at the foot of the cross.
Amen.
If the cross is not our focus, we've lost our purpose. We've left our first love. We don't find critical race theory in Scripture. We don't find that sort of division. Neither Jew nor Greek. God is no respecter of persons, folks. And the notion that we're going to punish a person based on the color of their skin or reward a person based on the color of their skin, that's not the Scripture. Here's another thing. You just covered, the numbers, nickels, and noses. That's what you called it before, right?
Yes.
They're concerned about the numbers leaving, the money leaving, the members leaving. You know what? Yeah, that's something that may come up in discussion. But if a whole bunch of radical leftists want to leave the Southern Baptist Convention, let them go, folks.
My statement is don't let the door hit you as you go out the door.
That's right. The reality is if you start being manipulated by numbers, nickels, and noses, you know, how many folks walk in the door, how much goes in the pew, or how much goes in the cooperative program, or how much, then all of a sudden a person with a radical leftist, radical anti-Bible, radical anti-God position can have enough money to manipulate you away from the Word of God. That's a dangerous position to be in. That's a dangerous position. Why don't we just stand on the truth of the Word of God and let the chips fall where they may? You know, if the numbers double or if the numbers get cut in half, why don't we stand on truth?
Yes.
That ought to be the principle of when critical race theory was brought up in that resolution initially 2 years ago. Again, it was to be a warning. It was a biblical warning. Here's what the Bible has to say. This is what critical race theory has to say. And these two are at odds with one another. Therefore, we ought to abandon any use of this, any consideration of this. We ought to stick with the Bible. Instead of that, they rearranged the words. And put forward a resolution that literally did exactly the opposite of what the author's intent was originally. I see this happen over and over. How many times did Paul have to write to the church and say, hey, folks, don't believe the lie. Stick with what I've taught you. Stick with what Jesus said. And over and over he had to say, hey, don't believe another gospel. Don't follow another gospel. And that's what's going on today. We're seeing the same arguments play out that have played out for 2,000 years. The great deceiver would have us follow that lie.
Yes. In fact, Greg, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but they're planning on introducing today three different amendments to the Critical Race Theory Resolution 9 from 2019. Three different ones that's being introduced. I've got a 5-page article outlining them, but one of them simply states that the critical race theory is incompatible with every version of the scripture and denominations, that is the Baptist denomination's faith statement adopted in 2020 or in 2000. Another says another Southern Baptist pastor from Oklahoma whose governor recently signed into the legislation that bars schools from teaching the critical race theory is a supporter of a third proposed resolution titled Southern Baptists Stand Against Racism, end quote. That statement affirms seminary president's determination that critical race theory and intersectionality does not align with their denomination's faith statement of faith or with biblical truths, end quote. And further, it states, Christ is a uniter. I don't see critical race theory uniting anyone. It's divisive. It's Marxism. And the goal is for division, not for bringing together, end quote. Very well stated. I'm praying that something that can take place. The debate is, Greg, and I understand it partially, the debate is that the critical race theory resolution was passed in 2019, so you can't go back and cancel that resolution, but you can modulate it, modify it, or add another resolution. Looks like there should be somebody should be willing to introduce a resolution that cancels the 2019 resolution 9. They're not doing
that.
The battle is going to be over three different. Which one of these new resolutions do you want? All three of them focus on critical racism.
My goodness. If we could dispose of that horrible decision that was made 2 years ago, that would be the ultimate. However, if we're talking about the critical race theory, we're talking about radical feminism, we're talking about the LGBTQIAP radical leftist agenda, any one of those things, to adopt any portion of, to embrace any portion of, I've got this little partial quote of scripture for you. Can you take fire into your bosom and not be burnt?
That's right.
Can you? We're there, folks. We took fire into our bosom 2 years ago. We've been paying the price. We've been paying the price. What will become of this convention if they continue to play these games, continue to play with these evil organizations and evil ideologies? They're all of their father, the devil. That's where these things came from. We're not. I have no real angst with Russell Moore, Beth Moore, J.D. Greer. You know what I mean? Because we battle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. I understand when there's a deception, these folks didn't originate it. But the truth of God can eradicate it. We can do away with it. It's sad that we've taken these steps, downward steps, retrograde steps within the convention. It's sad that the divisiveness has been embraced. If there's going to be any division, let it be based on what the Word of God has to say. You know, his word is sharper than a two-edged sword. Let truth be truth. And if folks choose to fall away because of the truth, let that be the point of division. And I think over and over that's kind of reiterated in the scripture. That's Paul's point. You know, he did not have us to be divided. We have to be united in the truth.
Absolutely. One of the things, I'm looking at an article, Greg, and I know there are a lot of things theologically and doctrinally that I disagree with Dr. J.D. Greer on. He happens to be a Calvinist, and I happen to be anti-Calvinist philosophy, ideology, and theology because it's antithetical to the Scripture. But I'm looking at a massive article, Dr. J.D. Greer, on future hopes for the Southern Baptist Convention. And in part, he says, he's praying for the convention. He said, we just felt like we have a mission too urgent and a gospel too precious to let anything like that, speaking of these issues that we've talked about today, stand in the way. Well, I've modified that. I believe the mission is too pressing. That is the gospel mission. And the gospel is too precious for us to let that anything stand in the way of those two things. It is the pressing mission of the Christian and the Christian church to evangelize the world. Red, yellow, black, or white, to evangelize the world, Democrat or Republican, to tell the truth of the Word of God without eviscerating, moderating, modulating any way, fashion, or form of what the Word of God says. Don't apologize for the Word of God. Just stand on the truth of the Word of God, whether it's Democrat or Republican. And if they want to leave because of the position of the Scripture, let them leave. In fact, I find the Scripture says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Greg, we've got about 25 seconds. Let you wrap up this broadcast today as a challenge to our listeners.
1 Corinthians 1, starting verse 10, says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You know where that judgment comes from? It comes from the Scripture. It comes from the Word of God. It comes from the truth of the Bible.
Amen. Greg, thank you for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and President of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them, 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.